good news.
Dealing with debt as an economic translation is maybe not the best way to think of this story, because 10,000 talents was huge, and 100 denarii was pretty big too. So I think Jesus is obviously trying to get to a bigger matter. But I think we have trouble with this because we're frequently about the transactional view of forgiveness, right? You broke something of mine, replace it or give me its value, right? You hurt me, well, I should be able to hurt you or at least exact a little bit of shame, guilt, and other emotional distress on account of that, right? Maybe I should take you to the people's court. And there seem to be more and more of these court shows on TV, too. What is our fascination with seeing people go before a judge of some sort, whether a well-thought-of judge or some goofy guy, I don't know, but we like the idea of judgment. We make the decision in our own mind and see if the judge will agree with what we think that person owes. Jesus seems to be saying in this parable, let's make this a ridiculous story. Some person, some slave, owes $1 billion to their owner. How would you owe $1 billion if you were a slave? Well, you could owe a lot in that system if you were the overseer. You were supposed to collect all of the produce and all of the loans that other people have made. You were supposed to have that all accounted for. So if that ever went slave, they'd be dipping into the chill or fiddling with the books, be in some big trouble. Jesus seems to be saying, this Lord is ready to overthrow the system of transactional debt. At least because this person pleaded for their life. They aren't going to be able to pay back. How do we pay back what we owe to other people? Why do we like to sue people when we think we are owed? Oh, some lawsuits are definitely necessary, but our country, I just read, has racked up annually $300 billion in court-related costs. $300 billion, that's like $1,000 per person, based on, well, on large jury awards, sometimes ridiculous ones. Probably most famous is the McDonald's Coffee Award, right? The woman who bought a hot coffee through the drive-through, hit a pothole, she probably was in Michigan, I don't know, and spilled the coffee on herself and sued McDonald's because the coffee was hot. So now every coffee cup says, warning, contents may be hot. But every coffee, it better be hot. There is a website you can go to for the most ridiculous court cases of the year. 10 of them, ranked. It's run by a Chamber of Commerce or something like that. Anyway, a Starbucks is on there. Not for being too hot, but for putting too much ice in the iced coffee. Now, if you've ever gotten an iced coffee at Starbucks, you know you have to ask for light ice. You know, somebody sued, truly. Too much ice in the iced coffee. Yeah, somebody else, there's a lawsuit, somebody got a $40 printer on Craigslist, it didn't work, so he sued for $30,000, of course. What is going on in our society? It's not just those crazy ones. Jesus' parable seems to be challenging us to think of stepping away from that system. Stepping out of the litigious view, not of coffee and printers, but of the real sins that we commit and have committed against us. Don't think of it as an economic business that you have to get into. Can we learn to forgive? And what a difficult challenge that is. So that's probably why it's the most prevalent message in the Gospels. You will not find any other subject with more parables attached to it than reconciliation and forgiveness. And it seems to be that Jesus' community needed it then, and I don't think we need it any less now. A group of us clergy got together last week, and we were talking about this parable, and one of my colleagues said, forgiveness is the only thing the church really has to offer in this society. We don't love it. Well, do we offer the best coffee in Troy?
Yes.
Do we offer the comfiest seats in which to spend an hour?
No.
We're not the worst either. We're not the best. Do we offer the tastiest morsels of bread that you can get?
Yes.
Well, I don't know about tastiest. Those are there for tasty ones, but what is it we offer the world that it needs? They can read the Bible online. They can even listen to it on a podcast. They can have a place to meet people at a club or a gym. What is it we offer the world if it isn't the example of reconciliation, of forgiveness? That we are reconciled to God and we don't have to walk around bearing the weight of knowing we've messed up. What else do we have to show the world that needs that message more than anything else? Because they sure aren't getting it on the television. They're not getting it on the billboards. Heard in a car? Call Billy the car. That was our last place where we lived. Had a very memorable phone number, too. What was it? 884-44.
No, it was just 4s.
444-44. You got that number. Real easy. Call me. Call me. I'll do soon. How do we offer the world the example of forgiveness? And, you know, some sins are really hard to buying a stupid printer or too much ice in my coffee. I should be able to say, oh, whatever. Next time I'll ask for less ice. Sometimes we are deeply hurt by other people. How do we forgive that? Sometimes you can't even ask for forgiveness because they're dead, right? How do I ask forgiveness of the relative that hurt me and they're dead? Or how do I ask forgiveness for the crime that was done and that person got away from it and vanished? Or, well, there's so many examples. Part of it starts by saying, what do I really want to accomplish? Well, I feel better if I twist some sort of penalty from that person. And the answer is probably not, actually. They have actually done studies that people who learn to forgive feel better than the ones who get their way in court and are still. How do we learn to forgive? How do we learn to forgive? I don't have a magic answer. I think one key way is gratitude. To say, well, I got hurt by this person, but I'm thankful for so many things in my life. I'm just going to let that one go. There's a famous story about John D. Rockefeller and Standard Oil that one of his employees did some bonehead move that lost the company $2 million. And the whole company knew about it. And one of his executives went into a meeting with Mr. Rockefeller, and Rockefeller looked up and said, I bet you're going to ask me about the fellow who lost us $2 million. Well, I've been doing some calculating, he said, and I've been trying to think of all the different things that he did that were good for our company. And as I looked at my list, I realized over the years that he's been with us, he has earned us far more than $2 million. So I'm going to forgive him for that one bonehead move. Wow. We don't hear those stories often enough, do we? We don't hear those stories where corporate people said, you know, you are worth more to me than whatever that mistake was. Or, we don't hear it in the world of friendships broken, families torn apart, grievances held for a long time. You mean more to me than the stupid thing that happened 5 years ago. Or, you mean a lot to me and you really hurt me, can you talk? That is what the world needs to hear. I am convinced of it. Because we're just not hearing it in enough other places. So when Peter says to Jesus, do I have to forgive him 7 times? Look how annoying John is standing over here. You know, I'm sure it was one of the other disciples, right? And Jesus said, oh, my goodness. And we've only we've been together for a couple of years. When Jesus saw that transactional thing still going on amongst his friends, 77 times, you know, quit counting. Because God has quit counting yours. Mine? Yeah. What's in my heart that I know I've done wrong to others? What's in my relationships that I know I could fix and that God is willing to give me help to fix also? What might God have to say to me on the people's court, the angel's court? Forgive us our trespasses, Lord, and help us to forgive those who trespass against us. It's not an individual right. It's a community's need. May the Lord grant us the skills, the patience, and the presence to carry through this gospel message. In Jesus' name.
Amen.